Over the last few weeks, we've found ourselves caught up in the Olympics. A lot of people have been watching on television the last couple of weeks, even here. We've been talking about some of the lessons we can learn from great athletes, regardless of what field they're in or what games they're playing in. Maybe even yourself as a younger person, or right now as a younger person, as older people maybe do some athletics, maybe more from the living room armchair than anywhere else. But I know some people still play sports, but maybe don't take it as seriously. We're not necessarily thinking that we're going to be a world-class champion when we are, 61 or something. But we know it takes a lot to be a champion. As a matter of fact, it takes a lot of commitment and dedication to be at the top of any field. If you want to talk about business, or you want to talk about doing something in a club, or you want to talk about athletics, it takes a great commitment. And one of the things we want to talk about today has to do with what it is really going to take for us to succeed, actually even to win this Christian race that quite often we read about in the Bible. And so when we make that comparison, as we think about the Olympians who have been training for years, and now they are competing at the top level with some of the greatest athletes in the world, we see that for some it's paying off. For others, yes, they've put the time and effort in, but they've not quite made the medal count. But there are others who have done fairly well when we think about this idea of receiving what they've worked towards. But we know that takes, and this is what we're talking about today, it takes the endurance. It's easy to fall out. It's easy to quit. It's easy to be overwhelmed. It's easy to say, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm looking for something else in life. And even in the Christian race, that can happen. As a matter of fact, that can happen to anybody. It's kind of like, maybe not necessarily in the professional athletic field, but certainly with the amateur field. Maybe you have played high school, one of the teams. Maybe it was football or soccer or volleyball or chess, whatever it is you played. You worked hard at it. But there were some people that even showed up for practice that they had left the sport a long time ago. I mean, they're there. They kind of do the minimum. They work a little bit at practice, but they're just not that serious about it. They become disheartened. They have found other interests. They've found other things that are more important, which is fine when it comes to sports. But I wonder, even when we talk about our faith, that could we even just come here and it's not really the real thing? I mean, we come here like, well, this is really what life is supposed to be all about. It's a huge commitment that I made when I was baptized into Christ. But now I kind of just show up for the practice. But it doesn't really mean a lot, because I've gone in other places in my mind, in my heart, with my time, with my actions. Just my life has gone in a different direction. We see that happening in life. Because when we talk about endurance, it seems like people are not that serious about endurance anymore. Some people may make a commitment at work to say, well, I promise I will commit to this. Sometimes even signing a contract. And it doesn't take long before either they quit altogether or at least they've given up in their hearts. There's some people that do the same thing with marriage, don't they? They walk down an aisle and make a lifelong commitment, till death do us part. And in 1 year, they've lost endurance. Why would we stay together? It just doesn't feel good. I found something else. Yeah, it seems to be hard work, this marriage thing. Let's move on. What's the next on the list? And certainly we can be tempted to do that. I'm sure most of us at some point we have found ourselves wavering between this endurance of hanging on and falling out. And so that's what we want to talk about today. What is this really going to take, this idea of endurance? So, like Michael Phelps, old news now, right? So now we're talking about Usain Bolt, which I guess if you've watched him run, you call it Insane Bolt. I mean, he's fast. I mean, he's fast. I mean, I can go that fast like in the car, but I mean, that's it. He's fast. right? So he won three gold medals, the 100 meter, the 200 meter, and the 100 times four relay now this year. But then he also won that in the London Games. That was three more golds. And, oh, hang on, the Beijing Games, three more golds. So he's doing fairly well when it comes to running. But it doesn't always come easy. Not even for him. As a matter of fact, in some of the interviews that were had, that it said, even he said that after the London Games, that he became lazy, right? Just kind of coast. And he's been a sponsor for quite a while with Puma Shoe Company. And there they were trying, you know, because he's their guy that they're pouring a lot of money and time into. And they're kind of like, hey, you know, are you trained? He's like, don't worry about it. And they're like, no, you got to train. Take this, because you see the endurance to continue on with this commitment. But if you want to win, you've got to endure. So when I was thinking about the word endure, and since we're talking about the Olympics, my imagination goes crazy. And so even in the word endure, what do we see? We see the word ran. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about running this race. And so what I see is the end, you ran. In other words, you've run to the end. See? I got it all in there, man. I worked hard at it. But you know, even with the word endurance, it's got a cousin, doesn't it? Which is very similar. Couldn't leave it out. I had to break it up too. The perseverance, which means a part of, or it means a measurement of, measurement, right? $1.99 per pound, right? Or as per our conversation yesterday. Severe, now this word is actually sever, which, you know, but it's a severance of the run. Severe running. And that's what we're talking about. Perseverance. So whether we're talking about endurance or perseverance, it means keep going. Don't quit. Because you're going to be tempted to. There's going to be days. And maybe even hours. Even down to the minutes of saying, I don't know if I want to take another step. I don't know if I want to go in this direction anymore. There are other things that are appealing to my mind and to my imagination and to my interests and maybe even to my lusts. And it's so easy to get distracted. What about as a Christian then? Because over and over again, we're going to find this analogy of the endurance, of this running, of this race, of this commitment, even of the athlete. And Paul is really big on it. Paul is really big. So is the Hebrew writer. That's kind of where we were last week in Hebrews chapter 12. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we looked at that 2 weeks ago, and Paul is just saying, you gotta run with perseverance so you can win. We're running to win. We're running to cross the finish line. We're running to get the prize. We're running so that the Lord Himself will say, well done, good and faithful servant. So we've got that in our mind, and I believe that is the same with the athletes today. Why do they continue? What keeps them going? It may be sometimes the love of the sport, but I can't see that every day. Sometimes it's just like, I want to win. I'm single-minded. I've got this focus. Win. Win. How can you win if you give up? Right? So winners never quit. Quitters never win. So we keep going. We want to run in such a way to get the prize. And so we left off here last time in Hebrews chapter 12. Last week we talked about the need for the teamwork, the need for encouragement, the need for a coach just to help us along, for teammates that inspire us, for those people, maybe even the stands that cheer us. It may be family and friends, mom and dad. I mean, it takes a lot for someone to become a world-class athlete, and it takes a group. It takes a community. We call it a church that it takes for us to do well, to succeed. And I'm not just talking about just crossing the finish line. I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about doing our best. We need each other. You know, we can sometimes endure ourselves, but how much easier, how much better, how much stronger, faster can we be with others? And that's the same thing in the athletic world. Because when people are running, and this is kind of one of the things that Usain Bolt said, this is what his problem is. I mean, when you're always out front, who's pushing you to go faster? I mean, at least if you're in second place, it's like, I got to catch this guy. I got to beat this guy. I got to go. He's going hard. I can go hard too. And so there's this pace that the front guy sets. The question is, who sets his pace? What's causing him to say, I can just give it a little bit more, just a little bit more. I can be a tenth or even 100th of a second quicker. And that's what our position is as the church, that we are encouragers helping each other as we go along. That was last week. So today we want to talk about the perseverance. But look what Hebrews says. Perseverance is needed. Even here in verse 1, let us run with perseverance. He's saying it's so easy to quit. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to slow down. It's so easy just to coast. It's so easy to drift. But run with perseverance. That's what we need, is perseverance. So you ever think about who the example could be for perseverance? There are a few examples in the Bible, but certainly the greatest example of perseverance is, the next verse, it's Jesus. But look what it says about Jesus then. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who's running ahead of us. He is the pace setter. He is the one that's encouraging us because he's out front. He's leading the way, and we want to follow Jesus. We're going to fix our eyes on him. He's the pioneer perfecter of our faith. The joy set before him, look what he did. He endured. See, he had to endure. It wasn't easy for him. He endured. He persevered. He kept going. He could have quit. He was tempted to quit. He kept going. He persevered. So he persevered. He endured the cross. And that took a lot, because what was involved? The shame, which is kind of interesting. What do we think about the cross? It seems like whenever we talk about the cross, we talk about the pain of the cross, which is what? Physical. Hebrews says, let's not talk about the physical pain. Let's talk about the shame. That's emotional pain. Now, there's spiritual pain. So he was going through a lot. Because the fact is, sometimes we say, you know, for me to be a Christian, I don't have a lot of physical pain. I'm not being thrown into jail. I'm not being whipped. I'm not being beaten because I'm a Christian. Oh, but sometimes I have to carry shame. You have to endure. You have to say, I'm not going to let that destroy my faith. That's not going to discourage me. That's not going to make me think, well, maybe I should just quit. I just need to fall in with other people. I just want to get along. I just want to fit with the society. No, he says, he endured shame, scorning the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so now what? Verse 3 explains our position. So we consider him who endured such opposition. And so again, we could go through and see what happened with Christ all the way really through his life, even beginning at his birth, his childhood, into his ministry, and then even through the death and the trial. But he endured opposition from sinners, from the people he came to save, even from his own friends, even from the people that at one time said, they were with him, we will follow you, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even from those people who rejected him, turned against him, fled at the first opportunity. But why are we looking at Jesus? So that we will not grow weary and lose hearts. I say, oh, it's going to be easy just to say, I quit. Oh, it's hard to be a Christian. So, by the way, newsflash. If sometimes you watch TV and people say, oh, being a Christian is so wonderful. Everything falls into place. God blesses me immensely. They are lying to you. And I don't believe they've ever read the Bible seriously. Because that's not what this says. This says your life as a Christian may be so hard, you're going to think, why don't I just quit? Sometimes I feel like I'm a fool for following Jesus. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be convenient. It's not always going to be popular to be a Christian. So he's saying we've got to endure because it's so easy to grow weary and lose heart. So easy just to give up. So here's the challenge that I had this week. I'd be studying this thing about endurance and perseverance, and there'd be a verse. There's a great verse, and there's another great verse. So I'm going to go through some verses fairly quickly. And if you want to write them down and study them later, get them in context and really grasp them about what we're talking about with endurance, I was thinking of which ones can I keep out, and I'd start try and take some out, and I'd find more. So, you know, I don't always like just doing the shotgun effect where here's 1,000 verses in 20 minutes, and, you know, do what you can with them. Sometimes I like just saying, here's one verse. What does this say? How is this going to help us? But we'll go through some verses fairly quickly so we can get the idea of what's going on. Before we do that, though, what I want to talk about is, what are some things that may cause us to lose heart, to give up, to abandon, to say, I'm moving on. This is just too much for me. I've tried it. I did make the initial commitment, but I don't want to do that anymore. Here are some things in life that happen. The first one is drifting, and that is something that just kind of happens. It's not really a decision we make. We just kind of go from one thing to another thing, and it's just over time. It's kind of like you just kind of get attracted. You fall in love with something else, and so, I mean, how many people have left the Lord that way? It's never really a decision that they ever really made, although we would say eventually they made it because, like, they don't worship the Lord anymore. They've really given up. But it's happened over such a long period of time of just becoming, you know, kind of lukewarm and, you know, then becoming cold. But it just happens so gently, so calmly. We hardly notice that it's happening to them. They don't even notice it's happening to them. The scary thing is sometimes we don't even notice it happens to us. But it's easy just to drift away from the Lord. The second one is being distracted. And that may be more of a purposeful thing. There's something else I've found in life that I feel is more exciting, more fun. You know, it's just something I've latched on to. It's something that's become a part of me. So it could be anything from addiction to a relationship to just something you want in the world. Maybe it's just your own time. It's your comfort. But just you've made a decision to say, you know, I just don't think I'm going to follow the Lord anymore. I just think I've found something new. I found kind of a new thing to do, a new hobby, a new pastime. I just found something else that's taking up really my time and my effort, my heart. It's just something that I've chosen to do. So sometimes it's just something that's distracting us from continuing to run the race. Then sometimes we get discouraged, right? Just this is more of an inward thing. It's just like, wow, you know, just there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things going on. And so we can get discouraged by a lot of things. Maybe it's about persecution. Maybe it's about things that are happening in our life. Maybe it's just, you know, the way we view even the church. We say, boy, I'm pretty discouraged at church. And this is kind of where we were talking about last week. It's so important to encourage one another. I mean, we got plenty of discouragement in the world. And quite frankly, I can stir up enough discouragement in my own mind and soul. I don't need you to help me. What I need from you is some encouragement, right? Cheer me up. Help me along. Press on. Let's do this together. Let's run. Okay, so, you know, it's discouragement. We just say, you know, we just get down. We just get discouraged. The fourth one is discord. So this is actually disunity. This is kind of when there's a lot of friction and maybe division, even within the church or within family or within the Christian world. There's just a lot of discord, and we feel like, oh, it's just so discouraging, the discord, right? And so people say, well, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. Sometimes it's discord just between myself and just one other Christian. I hope that's not going to cause anyone to lose their faith. But it does sometimes. They just say, well, people start treating me right. They're not taking into consideration how I feel or what I think, my understanding, just whatever it would be. So we can have discord in the church, and that causes some people just to say, hey, I don't even want to be on this team anymore. I'm going to find another team to be a part of. And I'm not talking about another church to join, but you know, I'm talking about just something else in the world. Say, I don't want to be a part of the church anymore. The fifth one is being damaged, right? Maybe feeling like people have taken advantage of me because I'm a Christian. And without being too harsh and don't want to get anybody to feel too discouraged, but sometimes we can even damage people in the church. Sometimes decisions that have been made, what people have said, right? That we have actually injured people. How many athletes sometimes say, well, I've been injured, so I can no longer race. I can no longer be a part of the team. And so they give up because they're injured. Now, sometimes you have to do that. But sometimes with an injury, there's opportunity to rebuild, to go through physical therapy, to get stronger, to get back on the field, get back on the team, start playing again. So injuries don't have to knock us out of the race. Okay, so we learn from our injuries and we grow. And then I believe there's one more is distress. Okay, and that may be the outside persecution, affliction, all the stuff that happens because we are trying to follow Christ and because of persecution, even Matthew chapter 13 talks about that some people, because of worldliness and persecution, they abandon the faith. They just leave. They quit. They give up. It's just too much. It's a lot of pressure. But you know, you look at a lot of these things and we can say, what do these things do? These things can do one of two things. Either they make us weaker. They cause us to maybe quit. They cause us to give up. They may cause us to lose our faith. But you know, a lot of these things, think about it, they can cause us to say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to trust in God more. I'm going to pray. I need to study. I need to grow in my faith. I need to remember what I'm doing this for. And so sometimes even in the middle of persecution, opposition, even in pain, even when you're injured, to say, I can learn through this and I can rise from it. And I can be stronger than what I was even before that injury or before that time. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is Paul again. And so Paul's kind of our guy that does speak a lot about the race, the athletic events back then of the Olympiad that was being held in Athens. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And so it's kind of interesting what he's saying here. He puts that into context because the first word therefore is referring to the previous chapter where he's been talking about that he's been given this ministry of bringing people to Christ, of preaching the gospel. As a matter of fact, the last verse of chapter 5 says this, God made him, that's Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us that we might in him, we might become the righteousness of God. That would be really good if I was in the right chapter. That was a great scripture though, by the way. Strong chapter. I didn't think it went very well with what we were saying. This would actually be chapter 3 in verse 18. And we all who are unveiled with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and being transformed into his likeness with an ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So it's saying we're becoming more and more like Christ as we follow him. We are being transformed. It's kind of like the same kind of thinking of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, of not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Verse 2 of chapter 12 in Romans, that's Paul speaking again. But here in chapter 4, verse 1, that we have this ministry, we don't lose heart, we don't give up, but we persevere, we endure. And then he goes through this chapter talking about what he went through. Let me give you a little example of what he had to endure. And I hope this may be encouraging to us, not that we're reading this going, boy, I wish I could do that. Some people say, I really would like to be the Apostle Paul and have the same ministry that he had. But this is what we're talking about endurance, we're talking about perseverance, this is what he went through. We see there 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work within us, but life is at work within you. And so we know that Paul went through a lot of pain and suffering and persecution and affliction in his life because he was a Christian, just because he preached. If he had given up preaching, he would have had a good life. He probably could have been very influential. He probably could have been a religious leader in the Jewish system. He could have been very wealthy, had a good career, and maybe even had a family. He could have really had it all. If the world was looking at him and they said, Paul really made a poor career choice. But when God looks at Paul, God says, Paul did exactly what I called him to. But this is what it says then at the end there of chapter 4. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So he's saying, yeah, I'm getting older. I'm getting weaker. I've been through more suffering than I ever thought I would. And he knows that there's more in store ahead. But he's saying, I'm not giving up. I'm going to endure. I'm going to persevere. I don't lose heart. I'm going to keep on going. Why? because I'm being renewed by the Spirit of God. God is working in my life to make me stronger, to make me better, to give me more wisdom. He's blessing my life and He's blessing my ministry. I don't always see it, but I'm trusting in God. He had His eyes toward the goal, the finish line of being rewarded this gift that had been given to Him through Jesus Christ, being renewed day by day. But look what the next verse says, in case you're wondering, what's He really talking about, this affliction, this time that He's going through? Look what He says. Now you got to remember, this is Paul. He really was persecuted and suffered more than anyone else that we know in the Bible except for Christ. Okay? In 2 Corinthians, a little bit later on, he talks about the kind of beatings. He talks about that he was stoned with stones and that he was left for dead and he was whipped. He basically even says beatings without number. So he can name some of them that, you know, but he's saying, I've been beaten so many times, I can't even keep count anymore. So he went through a lot. But look at what he says now. For our light and momentary troubles. And you're thinking, what are you talking about, light? These are heavy burdens. Light and momentary troubles. What's he saying? Well, what he's trying to do is say, there's some kind of a balance here. This is the way we find out how much importance there is. Okay, so back then they didn't really have a scale like we have when you stand out and it gives you numbers. They weighed things on a scale that had a balance on it, and you put your things on one side and you used weights on the other side, and when it was balanced out, that's how you figured out how much it weighed. So what he's doing here, he's trying to weigh it out. Because these light momentary troubles, why do you say that? He'll tell us why he's saying that. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He's saying, when I get to heaven, we're not going to be able to compare. People say, well, all the sufferings you went through. He said, that's nothing. Look what I have here. I count them as, like, that's easy. But Paul went through so much. But they're light momentary troubles. So we think about persevering. This is what he's trying to do. Keep on going. Persevering, because he's saying, yeah, it's tough. It's hard. There's opposition. There's a lot of reasons to abandon. But you got to remember what the goal is, what the purpose is. And then you say, but you know, all these reasons to quit, oh, they're just small. Paul's really saying here, they're insignificant. I mean, yes, it hurts. But in the light of eternity, it doesn't matter. Oh, and I know, boy, you say that, you know, you wouldn't really want to say that in church. But, you know, you kind of feel like, boy, it's going to hurt somebody's feelings, right? Boy, you know, I've been through so much. You know, people have hurt me. You know, things have happened in my life. I've got a past. And I'm not trying to belittle what you've gone through. But in light of eternity, it's insignificant. I know that hurts. You say, no, you can't say that. You don't know the pain I've been through. But we don't understand the glory that's ahead. It's the glory. It's the prize. It's what we're looking forward to. That's what makes it worth it to go through it. And so I'm not belittling the hurt, the pain, the suffering. Paul had that in his life. But he's saying, when I compare it, so this is what's going to help us. When we do this, we fix our eyes on not on what is seen. It's not all this stuff. It's not on the temporary, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So what's the goal? Where are we looking? Where are we focused? This is going to help us with the endurance, with the perseverance. And I believe this is what really helped Paul as he continued on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Here's the word again. I press on. I move on. I keep going. I don't give up. I'm still on the track. I'm still training. I'm still running. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Well, what did Christ Jesus take hold of Paul for? To bring him to glory? To bring him to heaven? To bring him to the Father? To bring him to eternal life? So Paul's saying, I'm pressing on to that. I'm going to continue on. It's the goal. It's the athlete who says, I'm going to continue on because I'm serious about winning. And I'm not going to give up until I cross that line. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself of having taken hold of it, but here's one thing I do. And he's really saying, this is the one thing. This is the important thing. This is the priority in my life. I forget what's behind. Oh, you know, we can blame our past. We can say I've been hurt in the past. I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. And Paul could say all that too. But I leave the past in the past. I mean, there's some races I've lost. There's some injuries that I've sustained. But I've got to leave that in the past. And I've got to move forward. Straining. This is the runner. This is definitely the runner. Straining toward his ahead. And you've seen those guys, especially running the 100 meter, right? At the very end, they're lunging to the finish line. Now, maybe not if you're like the very last guy, because it's like, it really doesn't matter that much. But when you're like, you know your competitor's right beside you, and you're first and second, are you going to be second? You're gonna be first? You don't know until you get there. So there's that last lunge. It's the straining toward what is ahead. So I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's the goal. That's where the perseverance, the endurance, training for years on end. To keep in the fight, to keep in the game, to keep running. We keep going because of what's ahead. Got to leave the past in the past, but we're looking toward the goal. And that's exactly what the Hebrews chapter 12 was saying. We're looking forward to the future. And so here's another one about endurance. Not only so we rejoice in our sufferings. This is kind of what I was saying earlier. Rejoicing in sufferings. Why would you rejoice in sufferings? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Well, that's what we need is perseverance. Well, how does suffering do that? Because when we are going through difficult times, it makes us rely on Christ, gets us praying more. It makes us that we want to be together with other teammates, also known as Christians. We get together, we fellowship, we share our struggles, we receive encouragement, we give encouragement. So through our sufferings, it produces perseverance. So even through our competitors or even our enemies, we can receive strength through that. Sometimes they may have something good to say. Or sometimes the negative things they say challenge us to go further, to go faster, to be stronger. And so there's this idea of this suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love in our hearts. So it's the hope of eternal life. And again, it's not just wishful thinking. It's something that's been promised that is ours if we continue on and we continue to work in the life that God has given us. Hebrews 10 verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay. So again, we're just being reminded over and over again that we've got to persevere. Why? It seems like it's a very common thread because we're looking to the reward. We're looking to the end. We're looking to the finish line. And he's saying it's going to be soon. Jesus is coming soon. Got to be ready. When's he coming? Don't know, but he's coming. Are you ready? He may come today. But you may only be halfway through the race. Now, I know if there's somebody here that's 92, you say, I hope I'm not just halfway. I'm thinking I'm near the end. But even if you're a young person, you may be near the end very quickly. You may not have another 30 or 40 or 60 years. Maybe soon. We don't know when he's coming. We persevere. We keep training. He's coming soon. We do the will of God because we're looking forward to what he has promised. Colossians 1 verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. That's kind of what we need. I don't just need endurance. I need great endurance. I need a lot of endurance. I need like mega endurance. We need that kind of encouragement. Endurance to persevere. Great endurance. And we need patience. But look what he goes on to say. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. Again, I don't know if he's pulling again from a kind of the Olympian theme. They had the Olympics back then, but God has qualified us to share in the inheritance? And that's what we talk about today, people qualifying in order that they can run. They had to do that back then as well. You just didn't show up, put your name on the list, and say, I'm running this year for the Olympics. It didn't happen back then, and it doesn't happen like that today. You have to qualify. Somebody's got to say, either you're in or you're out. You're like in the top five, or go home and train some more, and maybe next time around. But God has qualified us. He's put our name down. So he's saying persevere. He's saying run. And when we do that, what does that produce in us? In the middle is a joyfully giving thanks. So we're thankful to God for what he has done. We're thankful he's qualified us. We're thankful that he is really the one that gives us the power to continue on. It's not of ourselves. We couldn't do it. God continues to strengthen us every day that we can live for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, that's kind of important. If you think you're standing, which is important, because it seems like I've always read this like it's saying, if you are standing firm, but actually it doesn't say that. It says if you think you're standing firm. And what he's ultimately saying is, if you do think you're standing firm, you're probably not, right? Otherwise, he would have said, if you're standing firm. So if you think you're standing firm, you're thinking a little too highly of it. If you're thinking, I've got this one covered, I mean, I'm going to be fine, I am strong, I mean, I am faithful, I'm ready. No, you got to be careful, because there's an enemy. There's a competitor. His name is the devil, Satan. And he is out to destroy you. He's out to take you down. He's out to discourage you. He's out to cause you to quit if he possibly could. So if you think you're standing, be careful. Be careful you don't fall. But no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. So what we share in temptation, our discouragements, our trials, our frustrations, kind of the people problems we sometimes have, and even our own emotional pain, maybe our own self-esteem, you know, all the things that go on in our head, in our heart, in the relationships, they're fairly common. They may be a little bit different as far as the specifics, but generally we all go through the same kind of things. It's very common to man. So this is where we can work together and encourage one another. But God is faithful. So we're relying now on the faithfulness of God. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Okay, so you're not going to receive something, I can't do this, this is just too much for me. God is in control of everything that's happening to your life. He's not going to allow things to happen that are just too overwhelming, it's just too much, where you quit and God said, oh man, I don't blame them. Right? God knows what people are going through. And he's going to protect us from being overwhelmed with sin. When you're tempted, he will provide. This is God providing a way out so we can stand up under it. So God is going to give us the opportunity. Whatever is causing us to say, I think I'm going to quit. I think I can't make it. I think it's too much. I'm overwhelmed. God's saying, I'm going to be with you. You can make it through. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the opportunity to escape, to grow, to be stronger, to stand, to resist. God is going to give us what we need so that we can overcome the temptation, even that of discouragement, so we can endure. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Again, it's more of the Olympic theme, the crown of life, the crown. And, you know, sometimes I think people read this and go, really? We're going to have crowns in heaven? Don't think so, but you might. I don't know. I think it's using an analogy, saying this is the prize. This is what the Olympians ran for. They didn't run for a gold medal around their neck. They ran for a wreath, a crown that was on their head, which just signified that they won. They were successful. The crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And so we accept that from him. All we do is we are faithful to God. We continue to persevere and endure. As we close then, and this is from Jesus. Book of Revelation, he's written to seven churches. And this is what he says to the Christians. Now, they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be suffering. They're going through some very difficult times. So when he says, be faithful even to the point of death. Now, sometimes we read that and they'll be fine to kind of use that in the context. Be faithful until the day you die. Okay? Which fits. It fits the analogy of the race. We want to be faithful to the very end. You know, there's people that maybe run, for instance, a marathon. And, I mean, that's grueling. Certainly you need endurance and perseverance to run a marathon. But you could do very well running a marathon for the first 5 miles, right? But you got to finish. You got to finish. So we want to be the kind of people that we start the race, but we're interested in finishing to the point of death, to the very end of our life. But actually what Jesus is talking about here is being faithful to the point of you being persecuted where you will be beheaded, crucified, executed because of your faith. People will say, if you are a Christian, this is the last day you're going to live. Be faithful even to that point. Don't give up. Continue. Be faithful. Trusting. Looking to the prize. Say nothing and nobody can take this away from me. I committed to Christ. And I've been running. And I'm not stopping now. Persevere. So be faithful even to the point of death. And then again, what's going to happen? Jesus will give you the crown of life. That's what we're looking for. The end. The reward. What God has promised. I'm thinking that's why you started the race. The Christian race. Right? We started because we wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God. We wanted to be a part of the family of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wanted our sins forgiven. We wanted, when we die, to spend forever with the Lord. Because we knew at that time, and we still know now, that's a whole lot better than spending forever without the Lord. We want to spend forever with the Lord. That's why we started. Say, don't give up. Continue. Perseverance. Endure. It's close. It's getting close. Finish line is coming soon. Don't give up. If we can encourage you today in your Christian walk, your Christian race, if perhaps you're feeling discouraged, feeling like giving up, maybe you have given up. But if we can be a blessing to you, if today you want to become a Christian, say, if I'm going to be on a team, that's the team I want to be on. I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to join Him. I want the promises He has made to those that love Him, that seek Him, that follow Him. Hey, I want to be faithful to the point of death. The Lord Himself will give the crown of life. If today you want to be baptized into Christ, let's stand, we'll sing the song, let us know how we can be a blessing to you this morning.